We're ready for another evening of preaching. You can be as loud as you want. I didn't mention this morning that he did kind of allude to the fact his wife is with him, Jesse, and they have four kids, and just this year having a grandson, which, as everybody knows who has one, that's the pride of your life because you can spoil them to death and just pay the parents back. As most of you know, Freddie's been here many times, and when he comes, I think honestly it's to come to be involved in the schools and talk to the kids. His little comment this morning about perhaps even being able to intervene before the kids get on the wrong way irreversibly is probably more important than one may actually realize. The state's willing, and I'll make an editorial comment, to spend $50,000 a year per prisoner if they would put that money into trying to prevent, or some of it. It obviously would slow that progression down. I encourage Freddie to think about working to make that happen. I'm not sure anybody else I know could make that happen. His sponsoring congregation, of course, in Plainview, which is in West Texas. The schools, he starts tomorrow and goes through the week. I'm not even sure he knows, but he said earlier in the week that he wanted to talk to the teachers. He wanted to give them an inspirational message. I think that has been set up for Wednesday. I heard that from a lady who was a principal at Victoria. And as a matter of fact, she said, "When's he coming to Victoria?" And I said, "Well, next year we'll maybe arrange that to have that happen." 5:30 Tuesday, I want you to encourage all of you to make sure your kids get there. Freddie will have some things to say that will influence them. There's no doubt about that. So I'm personally looking forward to the results of that. If I ask Freddie again, what does he do in his athletics? I'm very envious of his athletic ability, perhaps from years past. He refused to tell me, so I know it's got to be pretty good. So and this evening, I want you all to really listen with attentive ears to Freddie Anderson, a great friend of us here and a great servant of God.
Either the athletic ability is really good or really bad, so it's not much, because somebody can talk up their ability that isn't there, but I appreciate Mike for such a wonderful, a very succinct introduction and not going into a whole lot of things. And if you can say something about a person that reflects his love and fidelity towards God, then that is what, at least in my opinion, is a good introduction. And so I often jokingly say I don't want a long epitaph on my headstone, you know, devoted father, loving husband, and this, that, and the other. I don't want it written on my tombstone, "Here lies Fred, he's now dead, he was hit in the head," you know. But if you put "he loved the Lord," then it speaks about everything. So I'm so delighted to be here this evening, and good to see everybody who is here, and good to see my dear friend Stella and her husband. Good to see them here this evening. They drove in from Victoria to be here. Praise God for them being here, and others that are here from sister congregations that have come to encourage the work. And there were some who were here this morning as visitors, and they return again tonight, and praise God for that. And I take zero credit for anything that is going on during this time. You all are doing the work and have done the work. And if you do that same amount of work with the same vigor and with the same zeal and enthusiasm, these things will continue, and the church will grow as your prayer is for it to grow. And then there will be a cohesion, and there'll be a certain synergy within the body of Christ that will be perpetuated just by the things that you do. And I have to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that you stand really on the threshold of greatness happening with this congregation. Since I've grown to know you, the church has grown, it has changed, and things have become different within the congregation as far as different faces. There have been some that we know and that we have known that have passed on and have gone on to the eternal reward, but there are still new faces and new individuals that are coming in and taking their spots. And I say praise God for that, and I commend you all so very much. I got to be honest with you about the lunch. I believe there was a conspiracy during the lunch hour, simply because you all know I'm from Louisiana, and it looked like you fixed all of my Louisiana favorites. There was red beans that was there. Well, rice, you know, folk from Louisiana got to have rice. And there was oxtails. And so you all didn't do me any good with lunch. I'm sorry I couldn't stay around. My wife and I couldn't stay around simply because we got in. I had to speak at a lectureship in Lufkin. And the lectureship, because of the bad weather, everything was behind at the lectureship. I was supposed to get in and start speaking at 6:30, and then I had 20 minutes to do my lectureship lesson, and we were going to get on the road and head this way, but the bad weather going to Lufkin, and then everything got behind in Lufkin, didn't get to speak until much later, didn't leave Lufkin until going on 8 o'clock, and then traveling into where the bad weather was, that was not good at all, and so we drove. I would think that our average speed from Lufkin to Port Lavaca was about 50 miles an hour, so that lets you know just exactly how difficult that trip was. And so we didn't get to the place until really, really early this morning, but just being frazzled from the trip and everything, so we couldn't visit with you because I had to go and get some rest so that Freddie could be even more ready this afternoon. So I just appreciate the church here, Mike. I really, really, really do. You all are some dear, dear friends in the Lord, and everybody in this congregation. If you treat people in the community the way you treat me, then this thing is going to blow up. It's going to be just absolutely, it's going to be beyond your imagination. If you treat one another the way that you treat me with the friendliness and the cordiality, then this is the place to be. And from what I have seen, just from the interactions, the way you receive those visitors that were here this morning, they're going to come back. And not only will they come back, they're going to say, hey, this is the place that I really want to be. And I praise God for you all, that you all are a welcoming congregation of God's people. Turn your Bibles if you don't mind. I'm not going to punish you for all of these preliminaries. So I'm going to take some time off the back end of this message because I did all of these preliminaries. And I could go on and on and on and on. And I'm looking forward to, and I'm hoping, 1 Samuel chapter 18 is where you need to be turning. I'm really hoping, one of the things that I've done historically is that I've gone to all of the schools and I've talked to the students, and I've talked to different groups of students and different size groups of students, not only here but in the neighboring schools systems. But I wanted to talk to the teachers, because this is the time of year when it gets kind of fuzzy and it gets kind of nebulous. There, you know, that here it is, it's no longer a new school year, and yet they're saying, you know, we got another couple of weeks before the Christmas break. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Well, they need a little boost. And so I ask to be able to speak to the teachers, because I want to motivate them. My wife is an assistant principal, first at the high school, and now she's at an elementary school, and she knows how that fatigue can happen with the teachers. And so we need to just give them a rah, rah, rah so that they can say, you know what, we can make it. And hopefully also, if it all works out, then the speech to the teachers will refocus them on what their purpose is in the school system. And I'm the fail-safe that when a child fails in the classroom, they send them to me over there in the prison. And that's not a good thing. And so, teachers, you are the last line. I'm not trying to do the teacher speech now, but teachers are that last line. And I'm looking forward to talking with them. I hope that it really does work out. But in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 18, and the verse that I want you to look at, if you don't mind, in verse number 6, 1 Samuel 18 and verse number 6. And it came to pass that when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all of the cities of Israel. They were singing and dancing to meet King Saul, and with timbrels, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then it goes on to verse number 8 and says, But Saul was very wroth, he was very angry, and the saying displeased him, and he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to ask yourself the question, was Saul wrong for his comment? Was Saul wrong for his comment? Was Saul's attitude inappropriate for what was going on? Now, before I even go any further, and this lesson is very important this afternoon. Before I go any further, there in the book of John chapter 20, when Thomas, who is called Didymus, when Thomas was not there with the initial meeting of Jesus or appearance of Jesus to the 10 apostles, and then when Thomas was told that they had seen the Lord, and Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see the prints in his hand and I thrust my hand in his side. We have often criticized Thomas for that comment. And maybe even we can even say for that attitude. We have criticized him to the extent that his name is no longer Thomas, but it is, you got it, Doubting Thomas. But I want you to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. I think that we have incriminated Thomas. I believe that we have indicted Thomas not so righteously, because Thomas says, I will not believe unless I see. What I want to say, Terry Thomas, is that if more individuals use Thomas's criteria for belief, we wouldn't have as much religious confusion today. That Thomas says, I will not believe unless I see, unless I put my hand on it. That there is a lot of religious theology out there that if a person were to say, I will not believe it unless I see it in the Bible, unless I put my very finger on that verse, I won't believe it. So Thomas is not to be indicted the way that we have indicted Thomas. When Jesus came into the room later on, the door being closed, and Thomas is there with them now, the Bible teaches us that Jesus presented himself to Thomas. Touch my hand. Put your hand in my side. See the prints in my hand, Thomas. Believe. The same it is that we have done with Saul. Because here it is, Saul is saying that already you want to give this upstart 10,000 and you only want to give me thousands. I have been your king for several decades now. And the only thing that David did was went out there and he killed a giant. Yes, he did. It was impressive. And I believe that God indeed was behind what David did. But I believe that Saul has a legitimate complaint this afternoon. Because what Saul is saying, what you are doing with David, you are singing his praises. And at the same time, I am going unsung. You're singing his praises, but I am being unsung. And that's what I want to talk with you all tonight about, unsung. I believe that it is one of those messages, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to give us a different view of things. It's going to give us a different view of one another. It's going to give us a different view of so many things in this life. Unsung. Unsung. Look at the whole display. David is returning. The women came out of all of the cities. And they're singing. They are singing it this way. They're not just singing, but they are chanting. You got one side of the women that are chanting, Saul, David kill his 10,000. The other side are singing, Saul kill his 1,000. And they're going back and forth to Saul with that. Saul is saying, what is it that's but left but to give him the kingdom? You're doing all of this for David, and I'm gone unsung. Ladies and gentlemen, there is something that is interwoven in the DNA of all people that we don't want to be unsung. We don't want to be unsung. We don't want to go underappreciated. We don't want to be ignored. We don't want to be just patted on the head and go and say, go in the corner and be a good girl and a good boy. I can do that too. I don't want to be unsung. I don't want to be, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking on behalf of people. Because y'all thinking that, he is into this thing. He wants somebody to sing. I'm not talking about singing my praises. But I'm saying nobody wants to go unsung. And that's what's happening with Saul right here, unsung. And I think that's happening with the world today. We have a world of individuals that are so disjointed. And the reason why the world is so disjointed is because there are so many people that are going unsung. Nobody sings them. There is a story about this, and you know the movie, I always get it wrong, but I think it's the movie, is the Princess Diaries. It's about this girl, and she wants to, her grandmother from Genovia wants her to come, and I've seen that thing about 1,000 times with my daughter. I know this movie very, very well. The opening scene of the movie, well, one of the early scenes in the movie when she goes to school, she meets a little quirky friend, and she tells a quirky friend, I got sat on again today. You know, you have to be mighty invisible for somebody to sit on you, that nobody sees you. And isn't that absolute sheer misery to be so invisible that someone would sit on you and ignore you like that? Unsung. There was a situation that happened in Numbers chapter 12. And I know you're going to appreciate this, and I'm not going to be long in this evening's message. You give me 10 more minutes. By 10 minutes to the hour, this lesson will be over. There's a story that is told in the book of Numbers chapter 12. And sometimes we get distracted by side issues. And the side issue is here is that Moses is approached by Miriam and Aaron. At the beginning of that particular situation, they say it is because Moses had an Ethiopian woman. That is not the real point. It's not the real point. Sometimes what we have to do, ladies and gentlemen, we have to eat the meat and spit out the bones. In this particular situation, you got to spit out the bones. Them coming at Moses because of the Ethiopian woman is only pretext. The pretext is to cover this up, that Miriam and Aaron are gone unsung. Because the final analysis is this. They tell Moses, does God only speak to you? He speaks to us also. That here it is, the people are forgetting the things that we have done. And if Miriam had to be honest, and if you had to be honest too, Miriam is thinking in the back of her mind, Shan, there would be no Moses without me. But isn't that the truth though? It's the truth. You don't have to. You're not disputing this scripture. There would be no Moses without Miriam. Because after Moses was raised up in his father's house and his mother's house and he was cast out, who was it that followed the ark? Miriam did. Who was it that had enough backbone to go up to Pharaoh's daughter and say, you know what? I know a woman who can nurse this boy. And Miriam is thinking, yeah, everybody's singing Moses' song, but I am going unsung. There will be no Moses without me. You know what Aaron is thinking? Moses wouldn't be where he is without me either. Because that was old coward Moses was telling God, I can't talk. I'm the mouthpiece here. And when they wanted to turn the water in Egypt into blood, whose rod was it that smote the river? It was Aaron's rod. Want to turn the dust into lice? Whose rod that smote the dust? It was Aaron's rod. When they came to the Red Sea, who was it whose rod was raised to part the Red Sea? It was Aaron's rod. And you remember when we were down in the valley? Joshua is down there leading the people into the battle. Moses is up on the mountain holding up his arms. And what happened when Moses' arms went down? The people began to be defeated. I held up Moses' arms. Now I'm going unsung. I think I got a grunt just then from somebody. But that's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. Unsung. So let's not criticize Saul for his comment, maybe attitude, but not comment. Unsung. Unsung. There is the most peculiar verse of scripture that is found in the Bible. It is about a place called Absalom's place. It was in this place that Absalom made a pillar. And on the pillar, Absalom wrote an inscription. The inscription said that I have no son whereby I could be remembered. Absalom was so afraid of him being erased from history and that nobody would remember that he ever existed, that he made this thing in the dale. That nobody will remember me. Unsung. Unsung. Ladies and gentlemen, you got a lot of people. Look, Shane, you don't have to worry about people who just simply will not, who will simply refuse to obey the gospel. You don't have to worry about them. For every one of them, there is somebody else out there that will hear the gospel. And those are the individuals, more or less, that they go unsung. They have been disenfranchised from society. They have been ignored. They're looking for a place where they can fit in and their lives will be meaningful and it will not result in obscurity. There are things that we do. There are things that we say. There are places that we go. There are things that we have sacrificed that nobody will ever know about. And we're thinking, nobody will know about it. Oh, yeah, somebody will know about it. Because it will not go unsung. I'm hastening. There in the book of Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And it is interesting that here it is, there is this man in Luke chapter 16, and he fed sumptuously, he ate good, he dressed in purple, and yet he lived in a great place. The reason why I know he lived in a great place, because you don't put a gate in front of a lean-to. So you put a gate in front of a place that needs to be protected. And this is where Lazarus laid, covered with sores. The Bible says that the only thing that Lazarus wanted was the crumb or were the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Stay with me now, thought for thought, and the lesson is almost over. And the dogs did lick his sores. The Bible says that Lazarus died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes.
and seeing afar off, he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And the rich man begins to cry out, "Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. Send Lazarus so that he might dip his finger in water and come and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this place." And see what happens next, ladies and gentlemen. They begin to sing Lazarus' song, because in life, Lazarus went unsung. And now his song is being sung. Abraham tells the rich man, "Oh, rich man, remember that in your lifetime you had good, but he had evil. You're in torment, but he's being comforted. His song is being sung." I want to be honest with you. People often say, and these are my notes and I'm putting them up. People often say that, you know what, when I die and I get to heaven, I want to talk to Daniel, I want to talk to David, I want to talk to Moses, I don't want to talk to those individuals. You know why? Because we know their story, don't we? I don't want to talk to them. I want to talk to somebody's whose story we don't get all of the details in. You know, I want to talk to that boy that gave up his lunch that Jesus can feed 5,000 folk with. Boys don't give up food like that. I'm telling you the truth. Boys don't surrender no lunch. You come with me and want to get my food and feed all these people here? No. I want to find out, boy, why did you give up your lunch like that? Why did you do it? His story goes unsung. I don't want to interview people whose story I want to already know. I want those individuals who are unsung. There are all of us, there are a lot of us in this room this evening that we go unsung. Nobody knows the pains that we have, the sorrows that we've had to go through, the trials, the hardships. They remember the bad stuff we've done, but they don't remember the good things that we have done. They'll talk about the bad that we have done, and all of the good that we have done is though it never happened. It goes unsung. You can look in this building this afternoon and see people who are, they're just simply, everything is in place. Every hair is in place for those of us that have hair. Amen. And we look so together, but nobody knows the real troubles that we've had in our lives. It goes unsung. Your story will not go unsung in the sight of the Lord. No, it won't. Because it'll be shouted from the hilltop and from the mountaintop, from the housetop. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot let this gospel message go unsung. We got to sing the message about Jesus. In the book of Revelation, John is in a moment of despondency, because John finds a book that is sealed with seven seals. John finds that there's nobody in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth who could open the book and read the contents. And John weeps bitterly. And then one of his escorts said, "John, weep no more. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he is able." And instead of seeing a lion, John sees a lamb as though it was slain. And a new song was sung in heaven. "Worthy is the Lamb, for he is able." There is going to be a song that is going to be sung about the Port Lavaca Church of Christ. It is unsung, but it's going to be sung of how that you were a light in the community, a city set upon a hill. It's going to go unsung, but indeed it will be sung. I just want to comfort you with that thought that it ain't going unsung, Terry. It ain't going unsung. It's going to be sung. And an interesting thing about it, I just mentioned Brother Terry's name, you know. And I've used Terry's name. I've talked to others about my brother and really told them about how much he loved the Lord and what a great student of the Word of God is, that he doesn't even know his song is being sung somewhere else. And I'm singing it. And I sing the song. I sang the song before I came here to the church in Port Lavaca. Where you going to be? I'm going down to Port Lavaca. This is what I'm going to be doing. And so what you're doing is not being unsung. It's not being unsung. Ladies and gentlemen, today is the day for us to write a new chapter in our lives. And a new chapter is going to include, that is the day that I obeyed the Lord. And a new song, a new chapter is going to be written. And the song is going to be sung. It's going to be sung. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let this opportunity pass you by. You come by believing in the Lord, repenting of his and confessing that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He died for your sins. But it's not just the idea that he died for your sins. They killed him. And I hate saying it that way, but that is the truth. They killed him. He didn't just lay down of old age and die, as some people say. No, in his prime they took him. They brutalized him. They mutilated him. They humiliated him. And then they killed him. And they killed him for me. Oh, yes, they did. Yes, they did. And I believe in that message, that he did die, but that he rose again. And today, ladies and gentlemen, he's standing at the right hand of the Father. But guess what he's doing? He's not just standing idly by, he's cheering for us. He's saying, come on, Freddie, you can make it. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. I brought you this far. Come on, just a little bit further. And that's the little bit further we need to come to surrender to the Lord. Today is the day for you to be put on, for you to put Christ on and for you to be put into Christ. And that is through baptism. You need to come and do it today. You need to come and do it now. You put it off long enough. You need to come. And those of us that are members of the church and we have become flag and fatigued by the world's problems, you need to write a new chapter in your life too. It is not going unsung. If I had 2 hours, I would not have enough time to really tell you all the things about being unsung. But know that it is not going unsung. We're singing it right now. And you can be a part of this story. You need to repent if you're a member of the body of Christ. And you need to seek prayers that I just haven't been doing right. I need to get back to doing what I need to do, what I should be doing. I praise God for each of you. And I thank God for you. Why don't we stand at this time? If someone wants to come, you can begin coming.